Welcome to the For Love and Money podcast, the show where business and social purpose meet to inspire a movement for positive change. Here's your host, Carolyn Butler Madden.
Listeners of this podcast might be familiar with the term B Corp, but like many other people, perhaps don't have a clear understanding of what B Corp actually stands for and what's involved in becoming a B Corp. So B Corps are businesses that meet high standards of social and environmental performance, accountability and transparency, and as a result have received certification. The B Corp certification is the most holistic and rigorous independent certification for businesses today. Certified B Corporations or B Corps envision a better economic system where businesses can benefit people, communities, and the planet. They choose long-term investments over quick wins, and they measure their success based on the positive impact they create. My business, The Cause Effect, is proudly B Corp certified. We achieved certification in 2021. On this podcast, the For Love and Money podcast, our mission is to explore the intersection of love and money, purpose and profit in business so that we can inspire a movement for positive change. The B Corp community and movement aligns to this 100%. Their mission is to make business a force for good. And I love how they say, we won't stop until all business is a force for good. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce today's guest, Mindy Liao. Mindy is Director of Impact and Growth at B Lab Australia and New Zealand, which is the certification arm of B Corp. At the time of this interview, she is also acting CEO of B Lab. Mindy is a champion of business as a force for good. She's been instrumental in building the B Corp movement in Australia and New Zealand and has worked with more than 200 companies to achieve certification. She's also worked with hundreds of other businesses to measure and improve their social and environmental impact through the free online B Impact assessment tool. In this episode, Mindy shares with us her journey to becoming a B Corp champion, and she gives us some great insights into what B Corp certification is all about, what value the process of becoming a B Corp offers to business leaders, and the strong benefits that being a B Corp delivers. And I hope you picked up on that, because there's value in actually just undertaking the process as well as the benefits in becoming B Corp certified. So if you haven't already, my hope is that this episode will motivate you to check out the B Corp assessment and start doing it, regardless of whether or not you're committed to or whether you have commitment from within the business to undertake the B Corp certification process. Hands down, you will learn so much from simply doing the assessment. And there are people who can help you in this process. Check out the links that we provide in the show notes. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy this episode, my interview with Mindy Liao from B Lab Australia and New Zealand. Mindy Liao, welcome to the For Love and Money podcast.
Thank you, Carolyn. It's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. So I want to kick off with the first question, which I think you're going to like, I hope you're going to love, is what do you think is the role of love in business today?
I love that question, as you suspected. What is love? Love is so many things. It is one of the strongest human emotions. It is also an action, a state of being, a motivation. So why shouldn't be in everything, including in business, especially when many of us spend most of our waking life at work, and many people today work in a business. So yes, of course, there should be love in business, because whatever you do, whether it's in business or not in a business, I hope that all of us are loving what we do. If not, why do it at all? And coming back to business, love is actually evident in many ways. if you look at the passion of entrepreneurs who are expressing themselves through their business, expressing their values, their skills, and even in organizations, people excelling at what they do, whether that's a vocation, a skill, a functional area, having kindness and compassion for our colleagues and people that we work with, and just people loving their jobs, loving their office, loving the different aspects of what work means for them. And a lot of many people today are pursuing purpose in their work as well. And so that's how I see love show up, which maybe we don't think of every day of connecting that to love. So I think love is a fundamental part of being human, and absolutely need to bring that into business.
Thank you. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it is a fundamental part of being human. Emotions are a fundamental part of being human. And it's only recently that we seem to have permission to start pursuing, you know, work that we love, that inspires us, kindness and compassion in business. And I wonder if it is actually the untapped value that businesses have within, you know, their people, their greatest asset. Is it that untapped value that's actually held business back from realizing its true and full potential?
I think so, Carolyn. I think it is an untapped value. But I also think that there might have been a separation at some point where we feel that business has to be anything but.
Absolutely. Well, it's been like that. It's been like that. And it's all been very straight-collared. And no, you don't bring emotion into the workplace. And look, you've got to find that balance, right? You can't have a workplace heaving with every emotional issue that people are dealing with. But it's tapping into what's important to them and, you know, what makes them feel alive, I guess, which is the opportunity. So I'm really excited to get into this conversation and share with our listeners about B Corp, because so many people have heard of B Corp, but they don't really know that much about it. So I think this episode, this interview is an opportunity to reveal a little bit more about B Corp and the growing movement that it is and what's involved. But before we do that, I'd love you to introduce yourself and to share with our listeners your background story, which has brought you to where you are now with B Corp. Today, as we conduct this interview, you're acting CEO. Please, Mindy, let us into your story.
Thank you, Carolyn. I feel very privileged to currently be the acting CEO of B Lab Australia and Aotearoa New Zealand. We are the nonprofit organization behind B Corp certification. We work as a global network of various not-for-profit organizations that pursue a vision of using business as a force for good, and happy to talk more about that. But as far as my journey and how I ended up in B Lab, it all started when I think it started when I was living in the States more than a decade and a half ago, when I woke up to the climate crisis that was unfolding at the time. And I was working in advertising in the media industry, and really had a moment of reckoning with what my journey was, what my career was all about. And I realized that I was really passionate about doing something about this crisis, and I wanted to devote my waking hours, you know, to my work towards that. So I looked for different opportunities to change careers, and to cut a long story short, I came to Australia. I enrolled in Melbourne Business School, but with the intent of learning more about the business sector, learning more about how we can affect change within the economic system, which I felt was a very big part of the reason why we got to where we are today. And this is not putting blame on any one, you know, person or organization or business in general. I think it is very much an unexamined, unintended consequence of how we've been operating as a society and as an economy and using and how we've been operating businesses, essentially. So having arrived in Australia and looking for these different, more purposeful opportunities, I ended up working at an organization called Social Traders, mm-hmm. Which is a nonprofit organization that supports the growth of the social enterprise sector in Australia. And they were just starting up at the time as I joined the organization. And it really opened up my eyes to how profit and purpose work together and can be so beautiful in reinforcing each other when you find those beautiful models that work. And it still really fuels a lot of how I think about business and impact today. But I recognize that, you know, social enterprises are highly impactful, impact-first organizations, but there also needs to be change in the mainstream business community. And that was what attracted me to the B Corp movement. I worked for a for-profit social enterprise and helped them achieve B Corp certification. That organization is called Start Some Good, and they are still fantastic impact crowdfunding platform. And from my experience at Start Some Good, I think that helped me to give me an advantage in the interview process when the job of community builder came up at BLAB Australia New Zealand. And that was more than 7 years ago now. And I'm currently also Director of Growth and Impact at BLAB and have been just thrilled to see how this movement has changed and grown during this time.
Yeah, it has changed enormously, hasn't it? And Start Some Good, we had Tom Dawkins on the podcast actually several episodes ago. So isn't it interesting how so many of these things connect?
It's a very small impact community. And, you know, I think, yeah, Tom is a wonderful speaker, wonderful entrepreneur, very visionary. And I've learned a lot from him. And, yeah, it's a great community.
And really driven by his passion, which, you know, comes back to love of humanity, I guess. Thank you for sharing that. It's interesting. So you come from a similar background to me, advertising, media, the dark arts, right?
Yeah, I feel like that accelerates sometimes your, reconsideration of what you're doing. I often call myself a corporate refugee.
Yeah. And one thing I want to pick up, because I have so many conversations with people who are in corporate workplaces. And I've had quite a number of conversations with people who are like, oh my God, it's just soul destroying. And you know, they've reached that point. So they've gone through a journey where they've got value out of their job, they've enjoyed it, but they've reached a point where they are questioning everything. And the interesting thing is, so many people think the answer is the nonprofit sector. And it's like, that's not the only option.
Mm.
In fact, with the skills that you've developed, you know, the opportunity to create significant change is in the for-profit business sector, because that's, you know, that's really what's dominated, you know, business, and that's where so much of the negative impact has come, as well as positive impact. But imagine if we can steer that ship and actually turn it around. That's huge opportunity. And that's within. So people working within.
I really, really agree with you there, Carolyn. And especially when I was working at Social Traders, and that was for over 5 years, I had so many people come to me saying, I love what you're doing, social enterprise. What a great concept. What a great way of, you know, steering businesses. And how can I work in a social enterprise? How can I work in the charitable sector? How can I do what you're doing, dedicate my career to purpose and to impact? Which organization can I go to? And I would tell them the same thing, Carolyn, which is that actually you don't have to leave what you're doing, even though you're jaded and you might be cynical, but sometimes the best thing you can do is to stay where you are and find your allies and find the ways to change hearts and minds. And I think it really starts with that. And I think that is fundamentally what the B Corp movement and social enterprise movement is about too, is that we have to really examine, question sort of the fundamental beliefs behind, you know, business, why we're here, what we're achieving. And, you know, again, connect with our allies and peers to look at how things can be done differently, because ultimately that's the change that we need.
Yeah, and find your allies is a common theme that just keeps coming up through almost every discussion on the podcast, and it's such a powerful one. There was something you said, this idea of reinforcing stereotypes. It's almost like nonprofit and social enterprise, good, for-profit business, bad.
Mm.
And it's not, right? There's a lot of good that has come from for-profit businesses, but there have been, as you said, unexamined negative consequences. And if we can examine those consequences and start doing something about it, not just to offset the negative impacts, but to actually start using the what is such a powerful force in business to create positive impact. Mm-hmm. And to serve underserved communities and things like that, then, you know, that opportunity is sitting right there. And it's an opportunity. Maybe people within organizations feel it's too hard. You know, mm-hmm. The ship's too big to steer around. But I hear story after story where it starts with one person. They find their allies. That allyship grows. They influence, you know, someone that can create change. And that's where it starts. It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And I want to come back to, you know, a fundamental unexamined question as well. And I think one that we're really have gotten behind within the B Corp movement is this idea of shareholder primacy in business. And I think that is also a cause of the, you know, this separation that we talked about before around, you know, what it means to be human and bringing love to business is answering the question of who does business serve? What is it here to do? And, you know, if we look to not too distant past, I would say the last few decades, we've seen an acceleration of globalization, industrialization, and, you know, global capitalism. And I guess fundamentally you can say that, well, Milton Friedman gets blamed a lot for this, unfortunately, because of his seminal article that was published in the New York Times that really asserts that the, you know, the fundamental role of a business is to create value for shareholders and nothing else. And if that was done, everything else will be taken care of, the value will be trickled down through the organization. And history has told us now, looking back, that hasn't worked.
Mm.
And that is the re-examining of the assumptions that need to happen. And therefore, one of the big things, you know, the B Lab co-founders espouse is this source code era in capitalism, which is around shareholder primacy. And we are advocating instead of stakeholder primacy, where consideration of stakeholders, anyone and everyone that is impacted by a business, whether that is workers, communities, and the environment, and people and customers who use and buy our products and services, should be considered in the value creation process. Not only there's value creation, but there's also, you know, externalities. By that, I mean, who's paying for the negative impacts? And climate change is a, you know, great example of that, where, you know, if we really looked at, you know, the true cost of something, pollution or emissions, like that was really captured, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And that's, again, I think a symptom of that unintended consequence of how we got to where we are.
Mm. And I love the way you've described it, or B Corp has described it, as a source code error, this whole shareholder primacy approach, which I also, I feel like actually it was never going to work, but this whole idea of keeping emotions, keeping any sort of emotion out of work, having a very straight-colored approach, I think perhaps that served the manufacturing age, when we just wanted, you know, businesses just wanted people churning things out and doing it quickly and efficiently. And but we're in an age where intellectual capital is valued. You know, we need innovation. We absolutely, innovation is essential to society's needs and to businesses' success as well. And for that, you need people to be able to show up and feel safe.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. And there's so many ways that people are finding work and creating work for themselves as well. So, you know, I think we are less reliant today on the machinery of corporations and, you know, factories for survival. And that's really kind of, yeah, the age that we're in, as you say, that much more services can be provided and people working as business owners in the gig economy. So I think that has really affected how people want to show up at work as well.
Yeah, and enter B Corp. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point to ask you to explain to our listeners what is B Corp? What does it mean to be a B Corp?
Yeah, so B Corp is a holistic, comprehensive whole of company certification. And companies who are certified meet a high level of verified social and environmental performance, accountability, and transparency. And let me explain the three requirements for you. The first requirement is around a performance requirement. And so to become certified, a company has to undertake our free impact measurement and management tool called the B Impact Assessment. It is 300 or more questions that interrogates a company's operations and business model across five areas. And the five areas are impact on workers, community, and that includes supply chain, impact on environment, customers, and governance. The impact assessment provides an impact score, and the score is a reflection of the company's positive impact it's creating in those areas, as well as the extent it is managing their negative impacts. So to become certified, the performance requirement is a 80 points minimum threshold. And to give you some perspective on what that means, we have had 200,000 companies attempt the B Impact Assessment. And of those, it has been around for quite a number of years. And of those who've completed the assessment, the average score is about 50. So to get to 80 is, you know, doesn't happen without intentionality, without having change significantly, you know, the way that the company is operating. Some of the highest scoring B Corps in this region get scores in the 150 and 160 range as well. So the assessment standard of 80 points is a high bar, but there's also recognition of highly impactful companies that often have impact business models that give them those extra points to get that really high score. So whilst it is possible for companies to not have an impact business model and get certified and really just do their operations really well, we are also encouraging companies to embark on a continuous improvement journey because they go through the recertification process every 3 years to maintain certification. And the standards are continuously evolving as well. So it is not a prize that you get once and you put on your shelf. It is, we're definitely not resting on our laurels here. But the good news is B Corps are part of a community of values aligned companies. Maybe they're a bit competitive when it comes to achieving as well, and that's actually a really good thing. It is actually a community of practice that focus on impact management, but focus on using their business as a force for good in collaboration with others as well. So that is the first part, which is doing the assessment and actually looking at your business, in the operations area, as well as, business model. And we do have companies that are inspired to change those over time, especially when they've been longer in the community. But that's the kind of, accountability and transparency that a company is putting themselves on.
Brilliant. Can I just ask before you move on to the next point, what is the limit score?
The limit score is 200 plus. The reason why I say plus is because, because of these impact business models, companies could technically go over 200 points. I don't believe I've seen one yet, but I think because of this, there's a multitude of these different impact business models that really recognize the significant impact these companies are having by intentionally redesigning their business models. So, why should we limit that?
I love it. I love that. I love that. Mm. And I guess it reflects, the changing nature of the world and business and the unknown elements as well. Fantastic.
Enjoying the podcast? If you're looking for more inspiration, head to our website, thecauseeffect.com.au, for more resources on how you can start using your business as a force for good. Or buy the For Love and Money book. Every copy sold allows us to protect 1 square meter of rainforest. Help us save 10,000 square meters by 2025.
What I'll say about the changing element of business as well, and we can, get more into that later, is that for a number of years now, for, 16 years that the B Corp movement has been around, this has been the way we have been assessing companies. And recently, about 2 years ago, we started to think about a different criteria for B Corp certification, and we want to introduce minimum standards, minimum requirements in becoming a B Corp. And so we've actually started this multi-year public engagement to understand what that could look like, and how we would assess companies. And, it's still in draft form, but we have so far come up with 10 different topics where we know that we would like companies to do at a minimum, to meet at a minimum, if they were to consider themselves a B Corp and a leader in business.
That's really interesting. So is that because some people are getting the high scores but failing a benchmark that B Lab feel is really important?
Yeah, the current system works on a aggregate score across those 5 areas. So we do encourage people to get on the journey, start the journey, get to 80, and then improve their score over time through recertification. But with the acceleration of climate change and other issues that we face on the planet, we also want to lift the bar in certain areas to ensure that we are not ignoring the important areas. And so some of these topics include human rights, and that's related to modern slavery, climate action, for example, circularity and environmental stewardship, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion, for example. These are just some topics that are being introduced as minimum standards.
Yeah, interesting. Really interesting, and important as well, because as we reach a point where we need to accelerate our efforts, we can't afford not to accelerate our efforts. I guess that puts more pressure on B Corp certified companies to lead that change.
Yep, that's right. And so that all is the kind of evolving performance requirement of becoming a B Corp. And currently it is still working on that minimum 80 point bar, which you're well familiar with, Carolyn. You've gone through the certification yourself. And, you know, companies can expect to continue using the current framework for a number of years because the new standards is not to be introduced until 2025. And even when it is introduced then, we will have a transition period of, I would imagine, at least one certification term, which is 3 years for existing B Corps and those who are on the journey to becoming one, you know, to adopt the new standards, to meet new requirements. So there is plenty of time to prepare, but our advice to people is to get familiar with what the 10 topics are and engage with us in our public consultation process. We want your feedback as well. We want to know how challenging it would be for companies to meet that and how we can, you know, kind of meet people where they are. So, that is coming. And
that's exciting. I think that's exciting because I think it's because it's being led by B-Lab, it's an opportunity for certified businesses to really lean in and look at how, you know, how to improve on specifics.
Yeah.
Rather than going through and picking out, you know, okay, these are things we can do. It's like, well, these are the things that are deemed important, more important, you know, a priority. So, yeah.
So that all, sorry for the tangent, we've kind of gone off track to talk about what's coming in the future in terms of the performance requirement. But as I said, you know, the current 80 points is still what any companies interested in B Corp should be working on. And there are two other requirements to become a B Corp. The second requirement is what we call the accountability requirement. And it involves embedding purpose and stakeholder governance in a company's legal documents and governing documents. And for most businesses, that is their constitution. And what is required to meet that requirement is to embed a purpose clause as well as a stakeholder consideration statement saying that the company will make decisions considering its impact on various stakeholders, including workers, communities, customers, et cetera, et cetera. And this is really to align the expectations of the board and shareholders to possibly how a company is already operating. And we often say that B Corp certification is that management tool for executives to align strategy to operations. And this accountability requirement, the legal change, is to align expectations of shareholders and directors.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense because that snapshot of a moment in time needs to continue and be prioritized. So,
absolutely. And it also really helps with companies that are maybe growing or are starting up. Startups and scale-ups often have very values-driven entrepreneurs that see their company growing a certain way. But when taking on additional capital to grow or maybe when exiting a business, how do you ensure that you are attracting aligned investors or and ensuring that the mission of the company continues? So this has actually been an issue or one of the main reasons why the B-Lab co-founders started B-Lab from their experience of exiting their previous business, a basketball shoe business company called N1. And there's lots of information and stories about them out there in the public domain. I won't go into that in detail, but that is a really important part of why the B Lab movement was started in the first place.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm curious now. I'm going to go dig that out.
And the three founders of B-Lab are Jay Cohen Gilbert, Bart Houlihan, and Andrew Kasoy, who were, you know, longtime friends from college as well, and ended up working, starting businesses together. And the third part of the requirement is what we call a transparency requirement. This is really no surprise because B Corps, as you know, are really proud of their achievements in impact, and we require B Corps to be transparent about that. So every B Corp have a profile on our website, and on that B Corp profile, you can see a company's B impact score and how they are performing in those five areas that I talked about. And you can also see how that score changes over time. And so B Corps are opening themselves up to being held accountable to what impacts they're having. So those are the three things of becoming a B Corp, but really what most people focus on is working on that first part, the performance requirement, and spending time in their B impact assessment and using that as a tool to understand what impacts they're having as a business currently, and then developing a plan on how to manage and improve those impacts. And that is an ongoing journey. And then that is also a team sport, I like to call it, you know, creating a team and engaging people and harnessing their passion for different topics is also really important.
I'm going to ask you to share what you think the value is in not just being a B Corp, not just being B Corp certified, but I'd like to split it into two, actually. The value of becoming a B Corp, undertaking the process, and then we can talk about the value of being a B Corp. But if you can start with that, you know, that what is the value of getting involved in that process?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question, Carolyn. So I think that the value of becoming a B Corp starts when you consider wanting to do something like this. And it's the value starts way before certification is received. And I think that is actually the really critical part of certification, because it involves companies being honest to themselves, being willing to look into their operations and often looking in areas they've never thought about. And the assessment is designed to do that. So coming back to the B Impact Assessment tool, again, it is a free, publicly available tool used by 200,000 companies, and we hope more. This tool is often called a self-assessment or a strategic tool to help understand how those impact areas can maybe align in their operations. So we go into the areas, those 300 questions, just really helping companies understand, you know, or even look into specific areas of their companies. So one example might be, do you have an environmental management policy? Well, if you don't, well, what would one look like? Like, what does, so that would include understanding a company's water usage, energy usage, waste production, and emissions. And maybe that is less relevant for a service-based company or a small design studio working from a co-working space. But then for them, their worker practices or even the way that they work with customers or select customers would be a much more material way of understanding their impact. And so other questions in the workers area, like, you know, what kind of workplace are you creating, and how engaged and satisfied your employees are, what kind of flexibilities and benefits do they have, what kind of onboarding and training and ongoing development opportunities are there, is there pay equity in the organization, what are the diversity and inclusion initiatives, what are the wellness initiatives? Those are different questions that we ask, and we often ask companies to try to quantify them as well. So measurement is really important, because you can't manage what you don't measure. And so it is through that first step of undertaking the B impact assessment that a company really gets kind of confronted with some issues that they may want to dedicate more resources into down the track. And from there, what can be created is an impact roadmap, an action plan of, well, where do we want to prioritize and how do we want to focus our resources over time? And for some companies, they will align that with what they strategically already had planned. And that's a really great thing. And sometimes that will change their strategic plan because they realize that, oh, we actually want to steer the ship this way and head in this direction. And I think particularly for smaller companies and startups, this is incredibly powerful as you are setting up the foundations of your organization and you're getting ready to scale, because it's much easier to set it up with the right intentions, the right frameworks, the right policies, than to have them all kind of retrofitted down the track. And you're doing it in a way that involves your people. That is the whole intent.
Absolutely. Look, I found going through the process, and you know, we're a micro business, obviously, but it is such an eye opener. Like the value of the process was, I found it insane. It opened our eyes to so many opportunities to make our business better and more competitive. You know, in doing all the things, you know, in tackling, in looking at the value to different stakeholders, to workers, to the community, to the environment, to your customer, and how you know the governance of the organization. In doing that, you create a better business. You create a business that is fit for the 21st century, you know, fit for the needs of the 21st century. And it was eye-opening to me, and just to see, you know, there were so many more levers to create impact than I had originally thought. So even just going through that process, you know, has huge value to an organization. And as you say, if it's a process that you really are committing to the people within the organization, because it's exciting. It's like we're building something together.
Absolutely. And you're bringing your people along the journey, or they're bringing you along the journey as well. And why shouldn't it be that way? And yeah, you touched on governance, which is also, you know, it's an extremely, extremely important topic. And we don't talk enough about it too. But I think the assessment actually opens up many small companies, and because large companies, obviously, with higher regulation, they're kind of have to deal with some of these. But I think that there are so many great questions around transparency, around ethics and training and KPIs and social environmental impacts and being aligned to all that as well, that we often don't think about when running so hard to run the business. You're running in the business, working in the business rather than on the business. And yeah, I love what you said about this being showing you all the different levers of change. So we often get I often get asked, like, just tell me what you need me to do and we'll do it and we'll become certified. And that is not how it works. Like, there isn't a list of things that I said, just do this and you'll be fine. No, this is actually a process of you understanding, like, what do you want to be? Where do you want to have impact? How does it align with your business model? How does it align with your values? And it is a choice, ultimately. And that's why understanding those different levers is actually really illuminating. It's very, eye-opening for companies. And I get excited about the impact business models, because companies start to get to see that, there's so many different ways of creating impact, and that will require, you know, much more significant change in the way we think about our business. And that is not, you know, something quick. It's not a quick fix. It is not putting recycling bins or compost in your office. And that's all good. We have to do that too. And we also have to keep thinking about, well, where can we most have, you know, where can we have the most long-lasting intentional impact as well. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to have an impact business model, but asking the question is really interesting.
It's such an important question to ask. I was interviewing someone else for this podcast the other day, and she has founded Vested. So they work for investment companies. Their clients are investment companies, and they have a data solution which enables them to identify the businesses that are creating maximum impact. And one of the things she said, which I thought was so interesting, is she talked about ESG, environmental social governance, and how a lot of financial companies assess an organization based on their ESG report. But she, as she said, you know, ESG is what a company says it does. And I believe the shine is coming off ESG a little bit over in the US and in other markets, as it's a compliance thing and there are some issues there. But what was interesting is she said, no, we look at companies, you know, you talk about the impact business models. We look at the impact that a business is having directly through its products and services. We also look at the other actions they take and, you know, reversing their negative impacts. But the core is what value are they creating and to what extent, to what scale are they creating that value? And I feel like from the things that I'm reading and the conversations that I'm having that, you know, this is where the world is moving. And I think this, you know, impact business models are a really important part of it and should be a consideration. It might not be the answer, but it should certainly be a consideration.
Absolutely. And I underscore the word impact, because that is what we should be paying attention to. And that's that example that you just gave. Like, they are really trying to understand and articulate what impact are we having on the world by our products and services, right? Understanding the positives and the negatives. And you know, and I know that many companies today have a purpose. And I think that's really, really, really important. You know, starting with a purpose is kind of starting with your why. But impact is seeing your purpose in action, and it has to be quantified. It has to be able to, you know, you actually have to be able to touch it and see it and measure it. So I think those two need to work hand in hand.
you're preaching to the converted here. Purpose without action is just a statement. And it just gives context to what you're already doing. A meaningful purpose will drive action, continuous action. It'll continuously force you to ask the question, how else do we do this?
Yeah.
You know, through everything we've got, through all the levers in our business, how else do we do this? And while we're serving that purpose, what else can we do to create positive impact?
Yeah, that's right. Well, preaching to the converted here.
So, okay, we've talked about the value of the process and becoming a B Corp. What's the value of being a B Corp?
Yeah, well, there are a number of value reasons and benefits, I should say, of becoming a B Corp or being in the community. First of all, it is the community itself, obviously. This community is now 530 companies in Australia and Aotearoa, New Zealand, and 6,600 businesses globally. And it is a community that wants to work with each other, trade with each other, learn from each other. And B Corp Month is a great example of that. So we're just on the very last day of B Corp Month here, as this podcast is being recorded. We have really brought this community together through webinars and events, and we actually do this all year round, but, you know, with less intensity than B Corp Month. And the whole idea is that we are supporting each other and sharing best practices with each other and creating this, you know, new economy, you know, to replace the old one that we want to leave behind. So, and part of that is engaging our staff. And you said that before, in that people want to have purpose. And, you know, one of the ways that people are living that is wanting to use that in their careers, in their work, and they're also wanting to work for B Corps. So one of the biggest benefits and values that we hear from B Corps all the time is that it helps them attract and retain talent. And it is not just the millennials or young people. I think more and more people are wanting to work for values aligned companies, and B Corps are becoming really an identifier of those responsible companies. So that is one of the benefits. The other benefits of becoming a B Corp is really credibility. That process that I talked to you before is testament to those who are not of, you know, the faint-hearted. It takes commitment. It takes action to persevere to put themselves on a continuous improvement journey. And that is the credibility of the certification that can then lend to sort of the trust that other stakeholders have. So whether that's customer loyalty or even investors that are looking to now increasingly invest in companies that exhibit, higher ESG activities or standards. So there are a number of different benefits there. And what we are most excited about is actually doing more in the coming years to convene the B Corp community in doing things together that we can't do apart. And that could look like, that could be called collective action. That could be, that could look like sharing more of those practices and innovating and solving problems together. That's already happening in certain industries. For example, in Europe, we have a B Beauty coalition consisting of beauty brands that are B Corps and the likes of The Body Shop and Aesop.
Oh, wow.
Part of that. Yeah. There is the B Corp Climate Collective that have chapters around the world. We have a chapter here in Australia, New Zealand. And these B Corps completely volunteer their time to think about how they can engage more B Corps on climate action, whether that's in, emissions reduction or policy and advocacy, because that is also needed in accelerating, the change that we need in terms of the regulations and policies for climate mitigation and adaptation.
That's brilliant. I mean, those benefits are massive, right? Like, we are living in an economy where people capital is the most valuable capital that you have. And we know, there's so much research out there, and we're seeing the trends that people do want to work for organizations that they feel proud to be part of. And they want to feel that their work has real value. It's not just about making money for the shareholders. It's got value beyond that. They want it to be profitable, of course. So yeah, as an attraction magnet for people, I think that is absolutely huge. And when you talk about credibility and building trust with customers and investors, when it comes down to it, trust is the currency of a successful business. And we've seen huge declines in trust in all of our major institutions. Mm-hmm. And business is one of those institutions. And yet business of all the major institutions is the one that is still the most trusted. Obviously, much room to grow, but the opportunity is there for business and brands to build that trust. Mm. And in order to do that, they've got to take action, right?
Yep.
And create impact. So huge. And then when you talk about community and collective action, that's really exciting. I think, I'm keen to hear more about that and see how that develops, but that's brilliant. Mindy, we've run out of time, but we just scratched the surface there. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast and share with our listeners a little about B Lab and B Corp. Can you share with our listeners your best advice to people who are interested in certifying? Obviously, you've got the B Corp assessment. Is that the best place for them to start?
Yes, absolutely. That is the best place to start. And regardless of whether you are interested to certify, I encourage you to take a look at the B impact assessment if you're running a business or you work in a business, because it really is eye-opening. And if you're interested to get more support to understand the B impact assessment, it can get a bit technical. We do offer workshops that you can find through our website, which is bcorporation.com.au, and that is the Australian New Zealand website. We also have B consultants who can provide one-on-one tailored support to companies who really want to maybe accelerate their journey to becoming a B Corp. The B consultants are trained by B Lab, and they have in-depth knowledge about the standards, about the B impact assessment to guide a company in any industry and in any size and sector through that. And we also have some resources on our website for improving impact and to understand the impact assessment and how to ensure that you're on the right track and sell if you're interested to self-guide through the process. But also I would say that the B impact assessment itself have lots of help tips and lots of learning opportunities, so you can pay attention to each of those questions, and the help text on each questions really help guide, provide definition on how do you approach and understand a question. It is an incredible learning opportunity, and I encourage you to start there, and that's bimpactassessment.net.
And we will include those links in the show notes. Mindy, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you and uncovering some of the amazing value that B Lab and B Corp businesses are bringing to the world.
Absolutely. All my pleasure as well. Thank you, Carolyn, for the opportunity, and hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely did.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the For Love and Money podcast. If you'd like to take a deeper dive into the purpose movement, visit us at thecauseeffect.com.au. And remember, doing good is good for business. So if you're not doing good, then what are you doing?